For your information, Mom and Dad went back to South Texas. They got a ride, so they took it. And probably in a couple, 3-4 weeks, they'll be back. But that's where they are. I understand that Julie's coming back Wednesday. That's a little earlier than normal. What you need to do, seriously, the devil is doing an all-out attack on every person in here, which is the body. You need to become, the word that came out this morning is directly for you in standing up and defeating the enemy. Don't think that the enemy is defeated when you see progress. Generally, the enemy is defeating in the dark, is defeated in the darkest hour, not the brightest hour. And nearly every battle, when it really gets down to it, it looks like you're about to lose, that's when you win. That is, if you'll stand up and fight. If you just say, I'll wait till things better to get excited, then you're a goner. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's appreciate the victory that Jesus has already won. Let's appreciate it enough to use it, to stand in it. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Okay. I got about 5 messages running through my head all at one time. Let's go through this third part of a statement of faith called the keys to the kingdom, or keys of the kingdom. We're going to summarize this eventually. Let's start drawing it together today and see how far we get. I want to run through a couple of things here. Number one, again, review with you how we get the keys to the kingdom and some of the keys to the kingdom. Number A, Father, this is your word. These are your people. Fill them with your word. For that we give you praise in Jesus' name. A, you must be born again. John 3:2. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. He doesn't say that that gets you the keys to the kingdom. One of the fallacies that's been taught today is that salvation gives you the keys to the kingdom. All the Bible says is you will not be able to see the kingdom unless you're born again. Let's preach that on the housetop and get tomatoed. Most people think that salvation is you're already into the kingdom. Jesus said, I think he ought to know. I think he ought to know better than every preacher and every denomination and every theologian that's decided that all you have to do is speak the name of Jesus and the kingdom is yours. Jesus knew better, so he said, unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus, the one who knows, said, most assuredly. That means he grabbed him by the collar and said, let me say it to you again. And I'm going to say it we can understand this time. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do you know what Jesus said right here? Do you realize the statement that he made here? You know what he said? Those that have not been born of flesh cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That means the devil can't. Do you understand that that means angels cannot? Let's preach on that a while and see if that flies real well. Everybody says that heaven is where angels are flying around, and yet this says that unless they are born of flesh, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Come on, think about it a little bit. That's such a safety valve for us. It's such a tremendous place for us. What is the kingdom of God? It's where the king is at. And every place that he rules. Now come on, let's just get down to what I'm really saying to you. Angels do not rule. Satan does not rule. They cannot enter into the kingdom of rule. Only those that are born of the flesh, number one, and born of the Spirit, number two. The devil can't be saved. Angels can't be saved. Now, understand, I'm not talking about a physical place, even though it involves a physical place. I'm talking about a place of rule and reign. No angelic beings can rule and reign, and no satanic beings can rule and reign. Because Jesus made the law. Not because I spoke it, because right here Jesus spoke it. He has the last word, right? Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You and I need to understand that in tremendous depth. We need to understand it. This is where you must know that you are two people. You are that that's common to man, born of the flesh. And then you are that that's uncommon to man, born of the Spirit. Let me remind you of something. I've kind of skated around this before. Maybe I still will. I don't know. But I know this. You're one man until you're two. You are not two men until you're two different men. Everybody is born of the flesh and they're equal. Listen carefully. You're not born of a satanic spirit. Nobody's born again into a satanic spirit. They can be ruled by a satanic spirit, but they're not born again into a satanic spirit. The only born again there is when God the Father, by the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, enters into you and creates a new, never born before being. That makes you peculiar. Why? Because you are now unlike the world. You are two beings instead of one. We've complicated that process by saying, well, there's the spirit man, and there's the soulish man, and there's the flesh man. Well, sure, all of that's true. Why do you want to complicate matters for? Don't tell one that's not born again that there's a spirit man. Because this says flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. And until God saves that person or he's born again, he is not a spirit being. Now, he's an eternal being. But see, the only thing that matters to you and I is our family. And if they have not been yet born, they are not part of our family. They do not have our father, our brother, our family. Very simple. Please don't look at the world like they're equal to you. According to this scripture alone, basic childlike understanding, they're half of what you are. They only got half of what you got. That's the difference between eating pig's feet and ham. I leave the pig's feet. I don't touch that stuff. I don't do tripe and menudo because that's not the part that I want. I ain't going for the dirty part when I can eat the clean part. Come on. I was presented one day by God the Father an opportunity to become His Son. As the promise of God is, every man will be presented that opportunity. He didn't say to me, tell you what I'll do, Stan, if you'll just let me be your father, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. He didn't say that. He didn't say that to me. I don't know what he said to you. He didn't say that to me until after I had an understanding of what being born again is. Why? Because you don't give a high-performance vehicle to McKenzie. That's dumb. And God is not dumb. He waits until we mature a little bit and get a little bit more understanding before He gives us more. And in that more process, you begin to see. You go back to Genesis and you begin to see God sitting on His throne. You begin to see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And you begin to feel and hear and see the Holy Spirit inviting you in back where you were originally occurred, created, born. Are you hearing me? The gates no longer keep me out. They keep me in. The angels that were posted to keep me from going from the tree of eternal tree of life now invite me into the river of life. And I'm smart enough to go there. How about you? Why? Because there's so much more than we've ever seen before. There's so much more than we've ever seen before. Come on now. If you don't agree with that, you will never see anything more. Anybody that thinks they've arrived in the kingdom has only deceived themselves. There's never a thought that's ever come into your mind that's ever as grand as the thought of God. All you've had of little glimpses of the the majesty of the kingdom of God and the power and the authority. Most of us would wilt, melt in the presence of the devil because we haven't quite understood what I first said. He has no power. Jesus said, He has no power. He said, unless you're born of the flesh and born of the Spirit. You understand that there's only one kingdom? There's not the kingdom of America and the kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the kingdom of Islam and the kingdom of the Baptists and the kingdom of the Catholics. They deceive themselves. There's only one kingdom, and that's where God is at. And when we have decided that we really have the keys we open and we walk in, and then we learn to bind and loose. Why? Because we know that we're the only ones that can. Satan can't bind and loose. Did you hear what I said? I don't care what you've ever heard in your entire life. I don't care what you've seen on television. I don't care what foam you've seen come out of somebody's ears or mouth. I don't care what statue you've ever seen weep. I don't care what you've ever seen. I'm telling you the truth. There is only one power. There is only one miracle. There is only one God. There is only one kingdom. And that's where those that are born of the Spirit are truly residing. The Bible speaks of becoming a son. And then the Bible tells you that that's not the goal of God, is to get you to become a son or a daughter, but it's to get you to become an heir. That ought to tell us there's two stages, and the first one's not enough, unless you don't ever want to inherit anything from the king in the kingdom. What good would it be to you if you were a son of Rockefeller, and yet you never got one bit of the name? I mean the wealth. You got the name, but you didn't get the wealth. You know what you would get? Can I describe to you what you're going to get? You're going to get attention. You're going to get people pursuing you. You're going to get people asking you for favors. They're going to ask you for answers. They're going to ask you for help. And you can't give it because you ain't got nothing. You're a son, but you're not an heir. Unless you're an heir, you have nothing to give. You can open your mouth, you can chant, quote, scream scriptures, you can write it on your forehead, you can wear it across your wrist, you can write it on your clothes, you can have slogans on your t-shirts, and the truth of the matter is, unless you are an heir, you have nothing to give except confusion. Well, Stan, that sounds like there's not much in salvation. Oh yeah. Oh yes, there is. There is the first sight of the kingdom of God. There is the carrot before the horse. There is that rabbit on the dog track that keeps the greyhounds running. Are you hearing me? There's that paycheck out there at the end of the week. There's that aroma from supper cooking. That's what happens when you're born again. You get hungry. Too many people, because of the wrong church, because of the wrong family affiliation, they become desensitized to the aroma of the kingdom, to the vision of the kingdom. There's only one minister that you ought to ever listen to, and that's the one that talks about the kingdom all the time. Don't listen to the one that talks about born again. Who causes people to get born again? According to the Word of God, who causes that? The Holy Spirit. God draws. You don't have anything to do with that. You go ahead and overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony all you want to. Get some people saved. And God's going, whoopee-doo, did you tell them about my kingdom? Go on the street. Do street ministry. Have them say the sinner's prayer and then they walk away. When they walk away, and the Bible tells you that when you cast out one, they're going to go get seven of friends and come back. Have you really thought you've done your job? You forgot to tell them about the kingdom. You forgot to tell them about the family of God. You forgot. It's kind of like an appetizer. When you sit down, you know why if you order coconut battered shrimp at the restaurant as an appetizer, you only get four or five of them? It wasn't made to fill you. It was made to make you hungry. It gave you just the best flavor. And oh, well, this is so good. Give me a whole bunch. I got some more. And it's better. That's what salvation is. I thought it was hell insurance. No. The first time you ever see the kingdom of God, that's all the insurance you need. Because then all of a sudden God says, now don't look back or you'll turn to the pillar of salt. Don't ever get your eyes off that kingdom again. I don't care what anybody tells you, don't get them off. Don't get it off. What can get your eyes off the kingdom? Hmm? How? You wouldn't do that on purpose, would you? Nobody in this room would take their eyes off of the kingdom on purpose. Nobody in here is that ridiculous. But what can cause? Let me show you something, and I don't have the scripture. If somebody wants to tell me where it's located, y'all can read, but you know the scripture. Anybody in this room think that Jesus had their eyes on the kingdom more than Jesus? I've never even come close, and I've never met anybody that's come close to where Jesus kept his eyes focused on the kingdom. Even Jesus, one day a man said, I'm sick. I need some prayer. Jesus, can you pray for me? Can you touch me? Can you heal me? Jesus said, no problem. And he lays hands on him and he starts praying. And nothing happened. Remember that? And I want you to look at something right quick. Jesus, he hesitated in his faith. First time, just be careful when you tell this outside of this place. But Jesus' faith wavered. Something began, but it wasn't finished. Jesus, can you see? The man says, little. Now, wait a minute. Jesus asked if he could see? Why would Jesus ask if his prayers were answered? Because his faith was wavering. Why was his faith wavering? What? That's part of it. But what was causing his faith to waver? What was it? The person or the people around? See, Jesus didn't say, you're not being healed because of your unbelief. He said, there's too many other voices here. Remember this, faith, unbelief is not. You don't recognize unbelief when it's quiet. And it'll never affect you when it's not speaking. There was voices. Jesus found himself in the middle of a bunch of people that did not believe. And it caused Jesus not to be able to do the things that he needed to do. So what was Jesus' solution? Well, by God, I'll just say, behind me! Another little thing that Jesus taught. Shake the dust off your feet and get out of that town. Jesus taught us right at that moment that we're not going to get everybody saved, delivered, and healed. And when that's the truth, come on. You want to get healed? We've got to get out of these bunch of losers. He moved away from the losers. What's a loser? Those that haven't been born again are those that have and don't know it. Now, come on, you think I'm kidding, but if a man don't know who he is in Christ Jesus, he's not truly born again. He's a loaded weapon. He don't even know where to point. He'll begin to teach them why this is the wrong procedure. No, Jesus, you don't lay hands on his eyes. You got to lay them on his bottom and hit him. It's my theology. Jesus had it correct. He said, come on, let's get out of this midst of unbelievers. And all of a sudden, what happened? Who saw first? Jesus did. Get the picture. Jesus' faith was wavered because he dropped his focus from the kingdom, from God. And when he couldn't do this anymore and it wouldn't work, he walked out. His ears were no longer affecting his eyesight. Therefore, the man's eyesight was touched. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus once again saw the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is where the word, the treasures are. They're not outside, they're inside. We're taught over and over in the Old Testament that you can go out in war, but you bring the spoils back in. You bring them home. Why? Because where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. So what am I saying there? I'm telling you that your heart must be in the Word of God, the Son of God, God the Father. Because when your treasure's there, that's where your heart is. And then you'll quit telling people. No, you won't tell them. You won't quit telling them that it's great to have your sins forgiven. But you'll begin to lean away from the childish things and you'll move more to the mature things. You never forget where you came from. That's a sin. That's no. Don't forget. But what you never... You know what the sign of senility is? You know what the sign of senility is? Is that every time we start talking about something of today or tomorrow, we go back yesterday and spend more time. You stop looking forward. Scientists will tell you that. That senility is when you begin not look forward and your memory And your vision is a lot better backwards than it is forwards. The only way that can happen is when you lose the sight of the kingdom of God. You get an on-fire Christian that's 180 years old, and they got a grin on their face, and they may remember 180 years, but it don't look near as good as what's to come. I have nothing vested in the past. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. I don't even care about thinking back. I only want to think forward. Why? It says, because unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And God is maybe around you, but it's never behind you. You understand what I'm saying by that? It may be all around you, but it's never behind you. It's always out there. Not out of reach, just leading you forward. Jesus taught us in many ways. But, I need to tell you something. We don't pay enough attention to what goes in here. And the reason I know that is because we don't let enough come out here against it. See, if what comes in our ears puts pressure on what's in our hearts, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we have nothing in our heart, things can go on here and nothing comes out here. You understand what I'm saying? If our heart is full of the kingdom of God, is full of the Word, when things come in here that's against that, something is going to come out here. And I don't mean violence and ignorance and yelling and screaming. I mean if it's full of God, God's going to come out. It don't have to be God, 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 God. It can be wisdom, 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 wisdom. But it's going to take a stand. Now, I went through a pretty severe attack this last week. Poor me. I'll get your violins out. I'll play you a sad song. That's the way I'm feeling about your sad story, so you feel that about mine, huh? I heard somebody say this morning, a little boy, he said, I've got a bad sore throat. You grab your Bible. He was holding one. I said, is that what this says? What does this say? Cough. I think it was a cough. Don't make any difference. I heard somebody say last week, I don't know who that was, but I think I have chronic fatigue syndrome. Could you find that in there for me? You sure?
Positive.
Sure.
Yes.
How do you know?
Not the Word of God.
How do you know? Okay. Then what right do we have to say that? Why would we want to say something that's not true? I told you, and I'll warn you, and I'll warn everybody in here, if that kind of talk can affect Jesus Christ, it can more affect you. If it caused Jesus to not be able to operate in the will of God, then it will cause you not to operate that way too. Why are you talking about that, Stan? Because I prefaced that with saying about some things that were said to me. And it's taken me several days to make my decision up. See, there's nothing wrong with if somebody says, you know what, your hair's a mess today. I'm not saying that to you, but if I did, you shouldn't just say, pfft. You probably ought to go look in the mirror. Wouldn't that be the wise thing to do? And what if you don't find that it's a mess? You make up your mind that somebody told you something that's wrong. Even if it's you. Most of the time, it doesn't come so much. Well, I shouldn't say that. Probably half the stuff that comes against us is from us. So I don't want to. But I'm telling you that I had somebody tell me this week that, of course, and it's physical family. It's not spiritual family. Because spiritual family is a lot smarter than this. And I've had to come to that conclusion. But that I was an ignorant sloth. Ignorant, uneducated sloth. That I was lazy and I had everybody else do my work for me. And that I was a thief and a liar and I was totally into control. That's what I existed for. You know what? Be cool. Be cool. I said to that person, I said, there's the evidence I've thought for a long time. You look down on people. You think you're better than most. You just proved you're not even equal. Well, you think you're God. That's your problem, God. I said, I am in this office. In this office, I'm God. And then I left it alone. Does God have to strike people dead to prove that He's God? Then what happens is, listen to me carefully, what happens is the devil comes as the echo. And he says it over and over and over. Until you decide whether it's truth or it's not. Now, you said that chronic fatigue syndrome is not in here.
Right.
Then what is? See, it's not enough to say, no, I'm not. Because you can't out-dark the devil by saying, no, I'm not. What does it say about you?
Hello?
Dealing with sicknesses and diseases. What does it say?
Right.
No, you're not. Come on, what's your response?
Yes, I am.
Why? Listen to me. I'm role-playing here just for a second, but listen to what's happening here. Self or me, whoever that is you're arguing with at the moment, is saying you're sick. See, now that's a different voice. Whose voice is that? Now, listen, sane people. Which one should you believe? That's how simple this whole thing is. How do you know that? Because I saw a glimpse of the kingdom of God. I saw the king. The king, when he stands up, the earth shakes. When he speaks, rolls around and changes the entire earth. I see that in the Word. I see that in creation. What kind of fool do I think I am if I allow one word against the Word of God into my life? Where does that put me? That puts me dumber than the person that spoke to me if I listen to it. If I don't believe him, he's a liar. If I believe you over him, that makes me stupid. And we read last week that I'll never stand in judgment over anything if I can't even discern the difference between God's voice and a man's voice. Now, the devil's behind everything that's bad. We know that, right? But I didn't have the devil in my office. Because I just got... See, here's something we got to deal with. The Bible says that when people just shoot off their mouth and it's not the Word of God, their father is Satan. Did you know it said that? When friends, and I use that term loosely, and family began to talk down to you, that's not God. When they began to tell you things that are not true, their father is Satan. Yeah, but you don't understand. His name was Billy Graham. I don't care what his name was. Billy Graham wouldn't do that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm using a big name. Well, I've seen him walk on water. I don't care what you've seen. You said, but the Word of God says. What do I choose? See, born again people have a hard time with that. Those that have been born of the Spirit and have seen the kingdom of God, they begin not to have such a hard time with that. Why? Do you understand why? Why? Well, of course, you're conditioned, you're brainwashed, yeah, all of that. But let me tell you in the Spirit what happens. This is a promise to everybody in here. You begin to get robes that are from the king's closet. Robes of righteousness. And you didn't, when you first put them on, you thought, I'm embarrassed. I don't deserve this. I'm going to go put my old robes back on. And God says, I decide what you wear. I decide who you are. And I decide what your name is. My name is not ignorant. My name is not uneducated. And my name is not sloth. How do I know that? Well, your ego. You know how I know who I am? How does anybody in this room know who they are? He said to Simon Bar-Jonah, Peter. See, God doesn't have to say a lot of words to tell you who you are. He just says, I'm not going to call you. Let me just get frank with you. I'm not going to call you what you really are. I'm going to call you what you're going to be. The first robe. And you begin to not look like you anymore. But you see, the hardest part, guys, is for you to believe that. Other people, do you know that other people see changes in you that you can't see? You are the slowest bunch, the slowest one of the bunch that you're included in when it deals with you. You are retarded when it deals with you. You will not believe what God says about you. You can have people call and they can applaud you and they can say, way to go, boy. And you can have signs and wonders and miracles falling all around you. And when you get in the back room, the devil's going to say, loser. And you're going to be the first one to believe it. Because you don't remember. Listen, remember, go back to the city where Jesus was trying to operate. The voices became louder than the truth. Jesus got him and his guy he was working on out of town. And I guarantee you, here's what had to happen. First, foremost, Jesus opened his mouth to that man that was with him. And Jesus began to preach to that man and build his faith. Why? Because Jesus' faith needed to be built. You want to help somebody? You tell them the truth, not your version. You don't talk about the town that nearly defeated you. You talk about the truth and the future. Jesus took him outside of town and said, you know, forget what they said. Listen to me. Look in my eyes. Jesus had, listen to me. This is important for you. Jesus had to have confidence that he was safe and that he was the Son of God. And he was filled with the Spirit. And he was Word. And he had the Word. And he could use the Word. And he had to know, according to Isaiah, not because of anything else, that by his stripes that man was healed. Jesus was operating in the prophetic before he ever bled or bruised. Jesus was laying hands on people because of the Word, not because of his actions. You and I do that because of his actions. He had to do it according to the Word. He laid hand on that blind man and he said, you can see because of what Isaiah said or what I said through Isaiah. Jesus was operating on Word. He wasn't operating on what he had already done. He was operating on what he had already spoken. Are you hearing me? The reason you and I will begin to see signs and wonders follow. See, how can you have signs and wonders follow when you've never had a sign and wonder? Because you've spoken them into existence. And you don't waver. And if you do waver, if somebody comes along and starts pounding your ears, you look at them and you say, if you only knew. If I only knew what? If you only knew the truth. My Bible says you ain't supposed to be touching the anointed. Bible says you're in trouble. My daddy says, I don't have to lay my hands on you. He'll do it for me. Expect it. When you get a whipping, look at my face. Remember, I'm sending you this gift. Now, what do? You know what you've just done? You've spoken a chastisement harvest into existence. Now you just stand. You don't begin to connive and try to get things back. I should have said, my next time I see him, I saw some cop show last night and the gal got beat up. She had a big old knot over here. She had a big old knot here. And she's telling the cop, if I ever see him again, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. And the cop says, what does he look like? I don't know, but if I see him again, I'm going to kill him. And I'm going, first place, don't tell a cop you're going to kill anybody. That's dumb. And don't say if I see him again if you don't even know what he looked like. Because then you may kill the wrong person. I'm destined to see this person again. I'm destined to see him corrected. Why? Because of who you are, Stan? You overcome, listen to me, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. What is your testimony? The next time I see him, I'm going to kill him? No. God chastises those that he loves. And the Bible says you're not to touch the anointed. You did. You're in trouble. You believe that? That God cares that much about you? You're broke, Jeff. You're destined to doom. Why? Because I don't believe you. Why? Because the Word don't... Is that what you're saying? The Word don't say so? What does it say? Yeah, but the facts are... Why do you say it's not true? You don't know how I feel. Well, how long do I have to feel this way? Probably until you quit talking. Say something else. You know, the biggest example, the glaring example that I can give me and you is your physical body. Your physical body operates under rules and regs. You break them, you're going to suffer. I can give you a formula real quick. You want to get rid of chronic whatever it is syndrome? Fatigue? Don't you eat one more bit of sugar. Or one more. You eat protein and see what happens. See if the aches and the pains and see if it doesn't change. I'd say that to anybody in here. See if it doesn't change. Why? Don't know why. But I can feel the wind blow, the Bible says. And I know it's wind. I can't explain where it comes to and from it. I can't explain where it's going. But it still moves my hair. So I operate in certain facts, even if I can't explain it. God's been speaking to me for a long time about that very thing. And I just kept pushing him on the back burner. And all of a sudden, about 30 days ago, it was over. No more talk. No more talk. I've literally put a hole in my stomach from taking aspirins from hurting all the time. Stupid. That's stupid. See, the problem, here's what happens is, You start bleeding a little bit. And listen to what the devil's going to tell you. Well, you have cancer. Chronic fatigue syndrome. You know what? This was my doing. And if I don't change this pretty quick, I will have what he says. If I don't say what I say, I'm going to get what he says. That's the only two choices I have. So what do? You do what you know to do. For me, I just stopped eating for a while. That's 15, 20 pounds ago. The devil hadn't totally gone away, but he's a whole lot quieter than he was. And I don't take aspirin. Which is better, to die of pain or die of aspirin? That's right, I ain't dying. But if I keep taking the aspirin, I could die. If I just put up with the pain a little bit, big hairy deal, I just go about my business, right? And I'll get over it. The pain went away. And I'm going, what was I taking it for anyway? Because the devil said so. What kind of theology is that? Because my body told me to do something wrong, I do it. I go to the store. I buy 20 Hershey bars. I tuck them here and there, and I just eat them all day long, tell everybody I'm on a diet. And then I don't feel good, I ache, I don't have any energy, and I come on. I look down, and I can't see my zipper, can't see my toes. Pretty soon I can't see anything, because my eyes are fat shut. Is that the way God made us? Who's got dominion here? Does my craving for chocolate and sugar and ice cream and cake and donuts and all that supersede my mind? Well, then why should I allow the suggestions of the enemy? I just don't feel good. That may be true, but that better not be the end of the story, or you're going to stay there. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus went one step further. Unless you get out of the ears of the soothsayers and the tale bearers, you can't accomplish the things of God. Right? Oh, this just seems to be the end of everything. Now, come on, Jeff. Everybody in here. How often does it look like it's the end of everything? Once a day? Once a week? How many times does it take to defeat you? What does the Word say? Yeah. Stood on a canyon wall the other day. Big old deep canyon stone wall. And I went, hey! And all of a sudden, hey! What I said came back. What I said came back. Did you know that I heard a scientist say the one day that every word, every sound that's made never quits. That it's in the rocks and it's in the trees. It's in the walls. And if you could get the right instrument, you could still hear it speaking. That it goes out for infinity and never stops. If that's the case, you and I need to get to saying a whole lot more good things, because there's some bad stuff still floating around out there. And if the words of an unbelieving city can override the words of Jesus, then Jesus needs to walk out of that city and begin to override those words. And that's where we are. We have to begin to outspeak even our own voice with the Word of God. The enemy has told every one of us that he's more powerful than us. Anybody ever heard that before? He's told every one of us probably 10 times today. You know why? Because we haven't been speaking the truth enough. We've allowed him to speak when he shouldn't be speaking. Jesus said, "Shut up, get behind me, Satan," to his own friend. Why? Because he recognized what was the truth and what wasn't the truth. He recognized what was piercing him. So he stopped it. I guess next week I'll do the message. Very important for us. Very important for us. I've got a granddaughter where her life is depending upon the decisions of two parents. They've got the choice. They can listen to the Word of God, or they can listen to the psychologist. If they listen to the world and the psych, or even their heart, do you understand your heart is deceiving? It's desperately wicked. Rob, Desiree, do you understand your heart is desperately wicked? The Bible says so. That means what you want to love too much sometimes can kill. You've got to balance the heart with the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about this thing? Listen, I looked in their faces yesterday and I said, raising children is one thing and one thing only. The conflict of wills. That's all it's about. If your will overrides her will, she will win. If her will overrides their will, she will lose. Now, how much more so? Just a glimpse. I'm not even getting deep here. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For every parent, for every grandparent, for everybody, they cannot see what I'm saying unless they're born again. You cannot understand what's being said about this unless you're born again. Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that whipping a child can make them better. That's ridiculous. And yet the Bible says it's true. And it was so true that He'll prove it to you. He'll whip you. Because He chastises those that He loves. Let's begin to see the truth. Let's begin to speak the truth. Otherwise, somebody's going to walk up and call you stupid. And you're going to believe it. Somebody's going to walk up and call her sick, and she's going to believe it. She's going to fall for every wind of doctrine. That's right. What's a double-minded man? Okay, one that has mixed truth, you might say. That's taking parts of the world, parts of the Bible, and mixing them. That's a double-minded man. Well, Stan, that's me. That's me and me. See, even if I don't feel like it, it's me. More and more every day. More of God, less of me. More of His Word, less of somebody else's Word. More of my decision, more of His decision and less of mine. Anybody here want to win? Yes. Then lose. You got to. It's required. You lose, so He wins. What does that mean? Listen to me. What does that mean? When you feel like chronic whatever, you lose. Jonathan backed off when he talked about his bad cough. I said, is that what the Bible says? No. He lost. He lost. The Word of God won. It's all right to be losers in that situation. Because it really is your decision. You can say, Stan, quit talking like that. You can even say, Stan, quit listening like that. Do you know that our tendency is to listen for the negative when we talk to each other? I have a tendency to listen to see if you're insulting me or not. It's just human nature. And then, of course, my tendency is to insult you. So now we got us a good team going here. You're looking for an offense and I'm the offender. Or vice versa. I'm telling you, can I promise you something and then we're going to go? You can never be offended if it's the Word of God. Well, you can never be truly offended. The Bible calls the Word and Jesus the rock of offense. So what that means is that when I offer you a piece of advice based on Scripture and experience, you can be offended if you want to. That's your choice. Or you can go back, leave it alone. Don't have the last word. Leave it alone. Walk away and let it process. Let it process. God is not looking for a thank you. He's looking for a response. You don't need to thank God for His Word. He's already laid it out there. You will. But it's not necessary. If somebody brings you a Word of God, if somebody, after you feel real bad, they walk up and say, don't you know that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed? You're going, oh, I get so sick and tired of Him saying that. You know what? The Word is still true. And you're still sick.
Right.
But if you'll keep your mouth shut, I don't care about your feelings, if you'll let it process. The kingdom of God processes. Did you know that? The kingdom of God processes. It's called washing of the Word. Did you ever see a washing machine work? How many of you would like to crawl into a washing machine and have somebody turn it on? That's kind of what the Word is. It's kind of like, oh, 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 oh. And then all of a sudden, you're going, oh. But you know what? When it's over, you smell good. You're clean, man. And you're usable. That's right.
When we speak out that stuff, we are literally helpless. Speak the opposite of the lie that we've
heard. Amen. Now, let me see if I can get a picture here. Come up here, Bob. Come here. Make a picture here. There's a scripture that just came into my mind based on what you just said. The Bible says that how can two walk together unless they're agreed? Okay? And here I am, and here's God and here's Satan. Now, both of them are speaking as we're walking. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to make you an exact theological picture. Because I don't believe God and Satan inhabit the same area very long. But they're both walking. And as we're walking along, she's making suggestions and he's making suggestions. Now here's what's going to happen since we don't have a long ways to walk. I'm going to begin to accept and reject suggestions. I'm going to do that. I'm going to either say, you know what, I do feel bad. I do feel bad. It's very possible that I have that cancer or that tumor, that syndrome, that whatever. Where does this leave God? You know what? He's got to fall back because he can't walk with that. But if I say, you know what, God? I like your word. I believe your word. The word says, I know you said, but the word says, and all of a sudden, he's got to fall back because he can't walk with this conversation. You understand what I'm saying? It's natural. It's not so much a war. It's not me telling him to go sit down or me telling him, God, to stand up with me. That's not the point is that my choice will decide who's walking with me. My choice. Because I agree with one or the other. That who walks with me is who I'm in agreement with. It breaks down. It begins with little simple things. Little simple things. Man, you really looking bad. Are we that quick in real life?
No.
See, that's the way we need to be. We need to be that quick in real life. Because the devil is faithful. And he's got suggestions. God is faithful and he has word. And we have to decide which we're going to choose. See, the statistics are, as they drive home, they're going to be in danger. Well, see, you've been driving all these years and you haven't had a wreck. Your time's got to be coming. Now, don't tell me that word's not coming. You've got to know better than that. It's coming. Is that what y'all choose? Well, you know, man, kids. The way the world is today, she doesn't have much of a chance. And you know, all these terrorists, man, they're going to wipe out a city. And when you go to fight, they'll wipe you out. You're going to have to agree, and you're going to have to disagree. But you know, notice what I've asked you is, what does the Bible say? It's not enough to not believe. It doesn't say it's all right for you to not believe. I'll say what it says. I won't even do anything in my message but use the two scriptures. We'll get around to the other later. Oops. Okay. Listen to this. You know Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Start in verse 20. Now in the morning as they passed, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. You remember Jesus said, we don't agree. I'm hungry. You didn't feed. We're not in agreement. There you go. The teacher. Yeah. Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Jesus looked back at him and said, what'd you expect? Isn't that what you and I do? What'd you expect? So Jesus answered to them and said, why don't you have faith in God? He said, have faith in God. Now listen. I said that you cannot just not believe. See, many charismatic churches, many meditation people, many Christian scientists, these kind of things, just believe it's not there. Just believe it's not there. Well, funny, that's not what Jesus taught. He said, for surely I say to you that whoever says to the mountain, guess what? He acknowledged there was a mountain there. He didn't say, don't look, there's no mountain. Don't believe there's a mountain. Don't believe it. Say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Now listen, he did not believe. He's telling us how to believe. He said, says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. What? It's not doubt that there's a mountain there. It's doubt, don't doubt that that thing will stay. Because it's not going to stay. Don't doubt that it's going to move because you just spoke it. Now listen, this is after a green, vigorous fig tree dried up overnight. Jesus cursed the fig tree at the roots and went on about his business. Now, wait a minute. That didn't mean he forgot the fig tree. He knew the fig tree was history. He knew it. He didn't wake up the next morning and say, let's go check that fig tree. I've got to find out if it really works or not. He was out on his way. He knew the fig tree was gone. Peter said, whoa! Jesus said, you have little faith. Did you hear what I just did? Whoa! You have little faith. If we're going, whoa, we had little faith. If you don't doubt, but believe, don't disbelieve, believe that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says. Now, what have you been saying about you? What have you been saying about your car? What have you been saying about your finances? What have you been saying about your future? What have you been saying about situations? Don't try to act like they're not there. If there's a situation there, Harry gave the word this morning. Attack. That's not the word he used, but that's what I'm hearing. Goliath showed up and said, I'm going to kill you. David went, no, you're not. I'm going to kill you. He didn't run over and hide behind a big rock and get safe and then say it. He ran at the enemy. I guarantee you this morning that the offense will come or the temptation will come. It's going to come. The word's going to come. It's going to come again. It didn't go away just because I said it. It's going to come. Your job is to run at it. So it doesn't make a difference what I feel like. It doesn't make a difference what I see. Let me tell you the truth. The truth is, come on. Sometimes it's best to just start at the end. You agree? The devil wants you dead.
Right.
He don't want you sick. He don't want you broke. He doesn't want you sad. He wants you dead. When are you going to understand that and begin to do something about it? Now. Why wait until you're on your deathbed and then recover? Amen? Words have been spoken. Erase them with your words. Let your words be the word of God, because whatever you say, you will have. Whatever you say, you will have. I am more than a conqueror. I got a report for you. I'm the guy. I'm the guy that's been raised from the dead. And that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now dwells in me. And therefore, I have life. And that more abundantly. Jesus was not resurrected from the dead by the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He was not resurrected to stay here and maintain. He was resurrected to overcome and move into the kingdom of God. And that's me. And I don't care what Tom, Dick, Harry, Larry, or anybody else says. That is, it is finished. I will not have the world, the devil, or anybody that he's using at the moment tell me anything different than what God has told me. Amen?
Amen.
I sat there and listened to that conversation with all the name calling, all the foolishness, that for 2-3 hours. And the whole time I said, that's not true. That's not the truth. Here's the truth. You don't have to yell, scream, spit, froth. You just say, that's not true. This is true. I'm going to tell you. How come you're the only one that knows the truth? Well, because I'm the only one speaking the truth. You're not speaking the truth. You make me so mad. Well, good. I don't care. Truth will set you free. Art makes you mad. Choose. If you are the rock, you will be an offense. Who are you going to offend? The person that's trying to break the rock. Right? Listen. The devil is the only one that's movable, unless I say different. We read last week that if I build my house upon the rock, we read last week that the rock is the rock that went with the people through the desert, through the water. That's the rock that the church is built on. If I am built on that rock, there is no storm. There is no wind. There is no flood. There's nothing that can move me. Are you hearing me? There's nothing that can move me. Rob, there is nothing that can move me. Can I tell you something? You're a sergeant in the military now. But I'm still stronger than you. You know why? Because I practiced a little longer. That's all. That's all. What am I saying, Stan? Practice makes perfect. Just get a whole bunch in now and you won't have to wait so long. Just get it in there. How do you get practice? Guys, how do you get practice standing? But you got to have something to stand against. So what I'm trying to tell you is to stand, to practice standing, you have to have something against you. So what are we saying? The words are going to come. Guys, the words are going to come. The attacks are going to come. Harry, the attacks are going to come. You know why God's moving you to speak what you're speaking? Because there's been some attacks against you. Your mind has been playing games, telling you how big a loser you are. And God spoke out against that this morning, and He expects you to continue to speak that same word. Don't doubt in my mind that that's why it happens. You got a big battle, Jeff. You got to decide now if you're a winner or a loser. You too. You got a battle. You just decide whether you're a winner or a loser. And then begin to speak according to the decision. Right? You're no good, Gene. You're just no good, man. I've looked at your history. You're just no good. Now, come on. That's the same thing Satan says to every one of us. So what's your response? What does God say? Well, you're good. What else needs to be said? There's the robe. It's this robe I'm talking about. You're the righteousness of Christ Jesus, chosen by Christ Jesus. He puts on the robes of righteousness. You know what the robes of righteousness do? They cover everything that's ever been there in the past. You wear it and you say it's mine. Because here's what the devil does. He brings another robe saying, bum, no good, liar, sloth. And he tries to put that on you. You say, that's not mine. That's not mine. I don't know who you're talking about, but it's not mine. Let me show you mine. You never amount to anything, Chuck. It's too late, isn't it? Cat's out of the bag. You're already amounting to something. Too late to go on that track. You better come up with another one. Right? My robes didn't stop. You understand? Listen to me. You go to a rich person's room. They got more than one suit. They got more than one pair of shoes. They got them all in succession. They didn't go out there and buy a whole clothing store in one day. Jesus don't give you the whole closet full of robes in one day. So as you start wearing one proudly, Gene, there's another one coming. And it's better than the one you got on now. And if we will continue to move in faith in Christ Jesus, every time, Rob, that He says something to you that's good about Rob, that's one more robe, put it on and don't move from it. Until the next one comes along, and then you put that one on. And I'm telling you, you're going to get more dogmatic all the time. You're going to get harder to deal with all the time. How come? I'm going to ask you something. Do you think God is easy for Satan to deal with? Answer me. Do you think Satan walks up to Christ Jesus and tempts Him anymore? How much more so now? Us. He left and sent the Comforter. The Comforter promises that as the devil gives you bad words, He gives you good ones. Make your choice. Choose you this day. Life or death, blessings or curses. Amen? Yeah. Well, I don't know what happened to the message, but that's okay. Guess I needed to hear a different one. Praise the Lord. Come on. Anybody get any help out of this?
Yes.
Come on. And I'm not getting after anybody. I'm encouraging. I'm just telling you, some people in here have been saying some things. They've had some things said to them. You need to stop it. Who stops it? Only you can do that. Only you can do that. How do you stop it? With the Word of God. Not with your own chatter, banter, or theology. You do it with the Word of God.
Right.
Amen? You're going to make some enemies in the process. That's right. So, in fact, that's my goal. I want to make some enemies. Come on. One more thing. If you got a road over here that's narrow and there's only a few, and there's a road over here that's wide and there's many, and it takes a choice, and you're sitting over here on this road saying, what are you doing on that road? Are you crazy? Do you think they're going to be happy with you?
No.
When they yell back at you saying, you're on the wrong road, and you go, no, you are. Do you think it's going to make them happy? That's how simple it is, guys. That's how simple it is. You're not going to make people happy when you do right. But you are going to offer them the first glimpse of the kingdom of God. Amen? They need to see. All right, stand with me. Where's my water? Did I set it over there? Whew. Yeah, I did. Oh. Now. I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time praying. I'm going to say, you don't have no chronic fatigue syndrome. That's a crock-a-doo-doo. Don't make any difference if you said it or you feel it. It's still a crock. I didn't challenge you on your feelings. I challenge you on the truth. Now, everybody in here has got something they need to speak into the mountain. You need to start speaking that. You need to speak it until it's so real you can't hear anything else. Amen? There is a light crowd here today. That's a lie from hell. You guys need to start chanting that, praying that, and believing that this place is full. Because the enemy has an all-out attack. I don't know exactly what the spiritual connotation of this is, but the devil has made a tremendous attack in the kingdom of God on stomachs. I can go to about 50% of all the families that I know, and they've had stomach problems. Mackenzie's had it. Rob's had it. I've had it. Connie's had it. The Goldens have had it. I don't know how many people I know that have had that. Turned on the preacher this morning. He said, man, I ended up in the emergency room. My stomach was just... He never did say what was wrong. It was just in knots is all he said. That's because we believe it's okay. We believe not that we deserve it, but it's part of life. And it's a lie. And with me personally, the advantage of this is that I'm going to come out better than I went in. I'm going to be leaner and I'm going to be trimmer, not because of an attack, but because of my response to the attack. You hear me? Let's don't get better because of an attack. Let's get better because of a response to an attack. Make sense to you? All right. All hearts clear in that area. We need to pray about anything in particular. I'm not against prayer. I just don't get more and more. But according to the Word of God, it's our mouth as we speak to mountains that really accomplish things. And by the way, one of the mountains that gets in our face is the devil. And we're allowed to command him as we are given orders to command the heavenly angels. We are also given the ability to command demonic situations and angels. Amen? Let's operate in that. Rob and Desiree are headed back to Texas. Back to Louisiana. And we've enjoyed having Desiree and Mackenzie. The house will seem a bit empty, but I'm more than a conqueror. Amen? You know what that means? That means for everything that leaves, something better comes. The next time the family shows up, there'll be four of these little rugrats running around. Whoop, whoop. And I'll have four times the amount of things to enjoy, right? We want to pray for them, send them off. You guys not going to eat lunch with us? No? Okay. Didn't figure you would. They got some miles to cover today. And why don't you lay hands on them, somebody else around there, but I want you all stand up here and pray. Or maybe I won't. Who knows what I'll do. Mackenzie, you want to pray? Want to pray? Okay. Come on. Father, we thank you. I thank you for children, and then I thank you for the expanse of the family, the addition to the family, not only in husbands and wives, but in children. Blessings of the Lord. I thank you for this time that we were able to spend with them. I ask you now that the attack on Rob's stomach, I curse it in its roots. I expect it to dry up as the fig tree did, as Jesus expected. I move into his expectations by faith. I ask you to give these parents wisdom in raising this brilliant child. This child that stands and amazes us. The child that we know that God has a plan for.
Yes.
Teach them how to raise her so that she'll be a good disciple of Christ and not a disciple of the world.
Yes.
A disciplined person that's able to say no to the enemy and not yes to everything that comes along.
Yes.
Let this man be the man of God, the head of the house, making the right decisions, controlling his mouth, controlling his actions, controlling his finances, controlling his children, not for his benefit, but for the glory of God. Let this mother be a mother of God, fashioned in the image of God, where she controls the child, the movements of the child, the movements of the house, in the likeness and image of God for his kingdom. Let her be a lighthouse to all of those around that need their help so badly. Let him be the sergeant in the, not only in the physical army, but in the spiritual army where he can lead people to the only answer, to the only victory, to the only true warrior. Touch them, Lord. Give them traveling, not mercies, but angelic beings all around. They protect against any enemy, any weapon that's formed against them. Let these miles go so fast, when they get home, they'll be already rested. They won't have to crash and say, we'll feel better tomorrow. Amen. Open the paths, direct the paths, Lord. Protection, protection, protection. Anointing and blessing. Let them move into the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Putting on their robes that God gives them. Guide their future. Let it all be about you. Bless them in their finances, in their health, and in their ability to witness, overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. I pray that on everybody in here, Lord, that we become bold, bold, bold in Christ Jesus, standing for something and not falling for everything. We love you, Lord. We say this in faith. We say it by the word. We say it as Jesus said to the fig tree, and now we know that it's done. We'll just wait to see, but we know we will see. Everybody that agrees with this prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, we have to put things up, don't we? Okay.